So we are holding in chapter 14, Perek Yudalet. And we really only got through a few psukim last week. And we were basically introduced to Shimshon. And he sees this woman in Timnath. And he tells his parents, I'd like to marry her. And we mentioned in Pasuk Dalid, it says, the Ovid v'imo lo yadu, his father and his mother did not know, kimei Hashem, he said this was Hashem working, pulling the strings, kiso anahu mevakeshni pulishtim, because he was looking for an excuse to battle the pulishtim. Uva'esahi pulishtim mostly in the Yisrael at that time, the Plishtim were ruling over Israel. We said the commentaries have two interpretations of who was looking for the excuse. It was either Hashem engineering things because he was looking for a way for Shimshon and the Jewish people to fight back against the Plishtim, or the other approach is that with Shimshon, you know, setting things up on his own, he knew he had experienced the Ruach Hashem, he had experienced this great strength, he knew that he was on a mission here, and that, and so therefore Shimshon was looking for a way to sort of get in with the Plishtim and find ways to entrap them and do battle against them.
By the way, if I may ask a question, the phrase "May Hashem."
Yes.
You seem to be speaking of it as if God put the idea in his head, or God, as you put it, pulled the strings here.
Yes.
Could it not be? Could it not also be translated as that it was? It was Simpson's idea, but was motivated by Hashem. In other words, he had Hashem in mind. It was all his idea. That he simply was doing
that
it
May
for...
Hashem means it was the same Shemayim. That's what you mean? That it was Shimshon doing it, May Hashem, from what he viewed as the will of Hashem.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes, yes.
I suppose it's not the smoothest read.
I agree. I agree.
We did discuss, you know, the Radak last week, who did say that, you know, certainly Shimshon was at least at first doing this L'shem Shemayim. Let's look back and see how he said it. He just says it was Hashem's will, and says it was from Hashem. And at first, his intent was for good, and then, so it's possible. So, fine. Pasuk, hey, did I...
Excuse me, because that explains everything else. You know, he made this up himself, thinking he was doing it for a divine purpose.
Well,
I mean, for him to
marry
a Plishtim woman, I can't believe
no, absolutely.
That
so that's what the Radak says, really. But we don't necessarily have to reread the words Mei Hashem in order to say that. This was Mei Hashem, and Shimshon understood that he was doing it for a divine purpose also.
So whose idea was it?
Hashem, the way some comments from the story at least, is Hashem put it into his heart.
Uh-huh. I'm saying the opposite. He made it up all himself for a religious purpose.
Right.
That's what Mei Hashem means here.
Okay.
It's a as you say, it's a strange interpretation. But it makes more sense in context than anything else.
Right. Okay. So, Pasuk Hey, Vayered Shimshon Ve'aviv Ve'imo Timnasa, and Shimshon and his father and his mother went down to Timnasa. Vayavo Ad Karmei Timnasa, and they came to the vineyards of Timnasa, Ve'hinei Kefir Arayos Shoeg Likraso. And behold, there was a young lion roaring to greet him. So Shimshon is going. A kasir is a lion cub. So actually, there's a very interesting radak here, who I think it's right here, who points out that there are numerous different words for lion in Tanakh, which I just found fascinating. He says you can have, he says the kfir is bigger than the gur, and the aryeh is bigger than the kfir, and the levi is even bigger than the aryeh, and the liash is bigger than the levi. So that's, I think, it's possible. I didn't realize that there are different types of lions, but...
Well, perhaps these are different kinds of cats.
That's also possible. My understanding always was... I mean, even here, it's calling it an ari. A kfir arayo. From the word ari. So unless we're calling all big cats lions, I mean, aria, and that there's different categories within... Yeah. Right, it's possible. The way I understood it was that it was just different levels of development.
Young lion.
So, it's just interesting to me that we would have like six different age categories of lion. Okay, maybe it's more logical to say, like you're saying, that there's just different types of lions or different types of cats. I found that interesting. So it says he went down with his parents, and they came to the vineyard, and then there was a lion coming to greet him. Now we're going to see that, let's read the next pasuk. Vatitzlaf olav ruach Hashem. And the spirit of Hashem came over him. Vayishas ehu kishasa hagadi. And he split the lion like he would split a goat. Umeuma ein biyado. And he had nothing in his hands. I guess he had no weapon. Velohigid avizu imo esakarasa. And he did not tell his parents that which he had done. So first of all, we see that his parents are... Oh, so his parents are somehow no longer with him. So... Yeah, possible. And then he came back. Then he came back out, and he didn't tell them what happened. So the Mefarshim suggests, either very simply that he just wasn't, you know, exactly going with them, but he was a little further back, or
you know,
well, then they would kind of know if they saw a lion,
and they fled,
and then Shimshon, you know, doesn't flee with them. And then Shimshon emerges, you know, without the... So they would know that there was a lion and that something happened with Shimshon and the lion.
Right. He says, I took care of the problem. He didn't tell me to throw him a pardon.
Okay, it sounds like they didn't know about the entire event. So they didn't even know that there was a lion. Right. It would still be noteworthy, I think. If he had killed the lion, I think it would be noteworthy. He didn't tell them that he had... The assumption here is that they did not know even that the lion was there in the first place. So you know, we could speculate, and that's, I think, what some of our sim are doing, sort of, and they're saying, you know, perhaps, I think they even used that word, perhaps he was further back. The Malbim here says, and I think the Gra says the same thing, that it says that they came to Vayavoat Karme Kinasa, they came to a karim, they came to a vineyard. And remember, Shimshon is a nazir. And he's not allowed to eat grape. So his parents went through the vineyard. But he had to circumvent it in order to not, you know, you say, not be tempted. You don't, if you can't eat grapes, you don't walk through a vineyard. So he went around, and it was during that time that they were split that he was attacked by the lion. So he tore this lion into two like he would tear a goat very easily. And he didn't tell his parents what had happened.
I hear it says a geez.
A kid. A goat.
A young goat.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true. That is a more accurate translation. Right. Yeah. Let me just see. Did anybody... Yeah. Okay. Seems easy to tear a kid in half. All right. Now, why didn't... Yeah, no, he definitely did it by hand. That's what the pasuk says. He wasn't carrying anything. He had no weapon. He didn't tell his parents. Why not? So the Zavid says, because it was no big deal in his eyes. You know, he's a strong guy, and just another day in the life, sort of. And, no big deal, nothing to tell them about. The Malbim says that that he understood that this had happened in order to help him recognize his great strength and to know that he's ready to now go and fight the enemies of Israel, of Hashem. And therefore, he didn't say anything. It's not so clear what the therefore is. But he understood that perhaps what he means is that it was just a message for him. This was sent, you know, it was a personal message from God that you are now ready to fight the Plishtim, and that's why he understood it was a personal message. He didn't tell his parents about it. It says the lion roared to greet him. So it sounds like the lion has, ill intent for him. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayered, and he went down, Vayedaber, Vayisha, and he spoke to the woman, Vatisha, Be'enei Shimshon, and she was straight in the eyes of Shimshon. Some understanding, he didn't actually speak to her. He spoke about her to others. Others say he spoke to her. I guess, yeah, I'm not clear why. That's what Targum Yonasan says it, and Rashi says it, that he spoke about her to her relatives. Not clear to me what's prompting them to say that way. But maybe, you know, okay, not sure. But as a result, either of speaking to her or speaking about her, she was straight in his eyes. Vayashav miyamin lekachta, and he returned after a number of days to take her as a wife. And on his way, vayasar liros, he strayed in order to see Eif mapeles ha'aryeh, in order to see the fallen lion. And he had killed the hine, and behold, adas devorim begeviyat ha'aryeh udvash. In the lion was a colony of bees, a hive, I suppose, and honey. And there was honey in the lion. The dead carcass lay there. Bees came and made a hive there, and there was now both honey and bees there. By your day, El Kapov, and he, you know, have doing the Winnie the Pooh, like peeling off the honey. That's what it means. That's what by your day means, that he peeled off. We have this word in the Gemara, at least, about how they used to make pizza, or like bread, that was against the wall of the oven. And the weirdo Sisatana is the same. It means to remove something that stuck on to the side. So he removed it to El Kapov, to his hand. Vayelech halok ve'ochol, interesting description. He went going and eating. He ate the honey as he walked. Perhaps this is, sort of a way to show how he sort of was subject to his desire, to his hunger, to, he's walking as he's eating.
He's a man of impulse.
Vayelech el aviv el imo, and he went to his father and his mother. Vayiteng lahem, vayochelo, and he gave them, and they ate. So lo higid lahem, and he did not tell them, ki mikviyas ha'arye rabba hadvash, that he had taken the honey from the body of the lion.
Would that have made a trace?
Good question. So I don't think so. The Mepharshim don't seem to talk about it in terms of the kashrus of it, but rather in terms of the tumah, where you have here, I guess, a nevela, you have a carcass, which could make someone tameh. Now, Shimshon was a nazir, and wasn't allowed to become tameh. However, he, I think, was allowed to become tameh mate, right? He killed many people. He was allowed to become impure from dead bodies. So this is sort of, I'm not sure where this would fall in. So let me take a look here. So just going back to the beginning of Chas, so he returned to take her. I guess at the beginning he had made the shidduch. That's how David said it. And now he came back to take her as a wife. And what? I don't think so, no. She's not with him. I don't think so. Right. Yeah, no, right. So it's interesting. He was on his way, it sounds like. He decided, so Vayasar Liros is Mapela Sa'arye, and he strayed in order to see the fallen lion. So the Malbim says here that this time he didn't stray because of the vineyard. He says perhaps it was no longer in bloom or whatever. There were no grapes at this time of year. So he could have walked through the vineyard, but he deliberately went the other way in order, Liros, as the Pasuk describes, just to see the dead lion. And he was not expecting to find anything. But the Malbim says the reason why he wanted to go see the lion was because a nace had been performed for him there, and one who sees a place where he had a nace performed makes a bracha, baruch she'asa li nace b'makom hazeh. We thank Hashem that a miracle was done for me here, and therefore he specifically desired to go see the lion in order to make that bracha and give thanks to Hashem. And, right, it sounds like the lion's way to see is to pick up his wife. He decided to go on the way to see the lion. He got the honey. He decided to bring some back to his parents. Right. And now, before we go on to the next pasuk, so the Malbim actually says that the Zavash was coming. The Zavash was impure because it was from the carcass of a dead lion. And again, he was necessarily felt to that temptation. The way the Malbim says it is because he was on his way to take a pussy woman, so therefore he was nishkal in another Aveira, he fell prey to another Aveira, or that was something that was forbidden to him, which was the impure honey. Nah, fine. The Mishkozov offers an explanation as to, you know, what is the remez? What is the deeper meaning behind this, the honey and the lion? What's it hinting at? What's it going to mean? Why is it significant? So he suggests, perhaps, that this whole description of honey growing out of a lion is a picture of Shimshon and his death, really. In that Shimshon is compared to a lion, great strength, but even in Parshas Zot HaBracha, when Moshe gives a bracha to say that Dan, so he says, Dan Gur Aryeh. Dan is like this young lion. And the Arachayim HaKadosh there suggests that it's referring to Shimshon. who came from Shevet Dan. Who are Aryeh Moshe talking about? Shimshon, he's like a lion. So we see that Shimshon is compared to a lion, besides for the obvious connection, just on our own, we may have made that jump because of his great strength. And Shimshon, we will learn, killed more people in his death than in his life. Right, he was in a building, he was chained to the pillars, and it was full of Plishtim cheering on his death. There was two Plishtim on the roof, and he brings down the house and kills thousands of Plishtim in that process. And what? So in his death, well, actually, right, no. So in his death, he killed many Plishtim, and then after his death, the Jewish people benefited from him for many years afterwards, where the Plishtim still stayed away and would not harm the Jewish people. They were still afraid of them. And so, okay, so good question. So just as there was still honey, there was still enjoyment from this lion after death, just like, right, that Shimshon returns to his lion after its death and was able to benefit from it and pull honey from it, so too the Jewish people after Shimshon's death continue to benefit from Shimshon, even in his death. That is what he suggests. That is the best one that I could find. And I can't say it's the only one. Okay, so not every mashal or every remez is going to be exact. And it's a suggestion. Pasuk Yod, Vayered Aviv El Ha'isha, and his father went down to the woman, to this wife, in order to get this, you know, marriage going, to settle things. Vayasam Shimshon Mishteh, and Shimshon made a party there. Kiteng Yasra Bachurim, because that is what the Bachurim, the young men, do. When they get married, they make a party. Yeah, certainly not for Shimshon. So the Malbim here says that was the custom, that the father of the Chassan would come and tell the bride to start preparing for the wedding. And the Chassan, he would make a party for 7 days in his house before the wedding, like a big long ofra party. And he would actually pay for it, I think. And that's why it says in Shimshon made a party. He came Yasu Abachurim, because that's what the Bachurim would do. Meaning that was the custom. That was the custom. Besides for the Sheva Brachos, after the wedding, there was seven days of Ofrah party before, followed by 7 days of Sheva Brachos after. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayihikir Osam Osam. And it was when they saw him. Vayikru Shloshim Meireyim Vayiyu Ito. And it happened when his father and his wife, when they saw Shimshon, I guess, preparing this. So they chose out 30 friends, 30 pushy men, to party with him, spend time with him for those 7 days. Now we have a very interesting little story. Yes, they're in Timna. Yes, these are pushy men. Vayomer Lahem Shimshon, Pasuk Yudbeis. And Shimshon said to them, Achudana. Bachrim just means young men. So it refers to the Plishti men. And Shimshon said to them, Achudana Lahem Chida. I'm going to tell you a riddle. Im hagei tagidu osali sivas imei amisha. If you can tell it to me for the 7 days, within the 7 days of Shavuot Brachos, within the 7 days of feasting, umitzasem, and you'll find it. V'nasati lachem shloshim sedinim u'shloshim chalifos segadim. And I'll give you, as a reward, 30 sedinim, curtains, cotton, black linen. So, I think different mepharshim may approach it differently. Most say that it's talking about after. The truth is that what I was saying before about the 7 days before is more the Malbim's approach. I don't know if the other mepharshim even understand those 7 days to be before. There's just 7 days after, and there's no 7 days lead up, according to the other mepharshim. So we'll see, I guess. The days are going to be a little bit tricky here. We'll try to work them out. So he says, if you'll tell me it, and you'll find it, and I'll give you 30 sedinim, 30 sheets or curtains, ushloshim chalifos segadim, and 30 shirts of clothing, one for each of you, if you solve the riddle. The imlo tokul v'hagidli, and if you're not able to tell me it, and then you will have to give me 30 sedinim, 30 of these sheets, shloshim chalifos segadim, and 30 shirts. Vayomru lo, and they said to him, chudach chidashcha v'nishmaena, riddle your riddle, tell us your riddle, and we will hear it. Vayomru lahem, and he said to them, meha ochel yatza ma'achol, from the eater came food. Umeyaz, and from the strong one, yatsa musa, came sweetness. That was the riddle. Can anyone solve the riddle? From the eater came food, and from the strong one came sweetness. Excellent. Referring to the lion, well, that from the strong one came honey. So go Yahu Mahagid Akhida Sloshit Yom, and they couldn't solve the riddle for the first 3 days. Now, if you didn't know about the lion, it would be somewhat impossible to solve that riddle, right? So it's a little bit of a cheap riddle. You know, they couldn't really solve it. Except that if you look in your base, he gave them a little hint. He said, if you'll tell me it, for the Shiva Yemena, and you'll find it, then then I'll reward you. So the Malvin says he was hinting to them, I think some others point this out, that you can find the answer. You have to look for it. It's not necessarily something that you will figure out on your own, but you can find it.
You can find the lion.
You can find the lion. It's not far from, it's just outside the village, you know, the town. Or, you know, he was telling them that it's something that could be found. But, okay, whether, you know, it was solvable, it wasn't solvable, he was obviously looking to, you know, start something up with them. Now, if you look in Pasuk Yud Beis, the second to last word, it's chalifos begadim, shirts of clothing. Now look in the next Pasuk, and where he says, right, so in that Pasuk he said that if you solve the riddle, then I will give you 30 chalifos begadim, 30 shirts, one. And if you can't, then you will give me 30 sedinim and 30 chalifos. Now in Pasuk Yud Gimel, chalifos is spelled with a vav, and in Pasuk Yud Beis it's spelled without a vav. Why the difference? So the vav quotes from the Chaim Berlin, very interesting chat, very simple, straightforward, but it works very nicely. He says, Chazal Darshan on the Pasuk, on the pasuk by the luchos. That luchos is written chaser, written without the second vav. Luchos is spelled lamed vav, I think with that vav ches kaf. But there's certainly not a vav between the ches and the kaf. So Chazal darshin that teaches us. However, the drasha works exactly that they were exactly the same, the two luchos. In size, in shape, they were the same. So Reb Chaim Berlin says you could borrow that and use that same kind of drasha here. And that halifos male means that they are different. With the vav, it means they're different. Each one's unique. And without the vav, they are the same. And so when Shimshon was promising to give them 30 halifos, so he was going to give each of them the exact same one. And that's why it's written chaser without the vav. But when he was saying, if you don't figure out, then you have to give me 30 halifos, meaning each of you 30 guys have to give me one. So if they're each on their own giving one, each one's going to give a different one. And therefore it was written male to imply that each one was different. In the end, we're going to see in the very last pasuk, second to last pasuk in the parak. In pasuk Yates, we're going to see how they will solve the riddle eventually, and he's going to have to give them, but he's not going to give them from his own. He's going to go hunt down some other person and take their kill them and take their chalifos. And he's going to give those. And it's going to be written male, because male means, with the vav, means that they were different ones. And since in the end he did give different ones, he took them from these 30 Christian men, so at the end it's also written male, written with the vav. So what happened? Pasuk Tesvav, Vayhi Bayom HaShavi. And it was on the seventh day. And they said to the wife of Shimshon, Tatia Sishet, seduce your husband. The Yagid Lono is Hakida, and he'll tell us the answer to the riddle. Penisro Bosach, that's based on this way, lest if you don't do this, we will burn you and the house of your father in fire. Hali Arsenu Kurasim Lono, hello. Was he ordered to trap us? That you called us here, you invited us to this party. Was it to trap us? Or was it not? Why did you invite us here? Was this just going to cost us money? We were supposed to come here to celebrate, and it seems like you brought us here that we would fall into your net. So, what was this seventh day? So let's come back to that, right? It says, and it was on the seventh day, and they said to her, seduce your husband so he will tell us the riddle. Okay, Pasuk says, Zion, Vakev Eshe Shimshon Olav, and the wife of Shimshon cried over him, Vakomer, and she said, Rakshin Eshani Veloa Hatsani, you've only hated me, you don't love me, Hachida Chadra Livnei, Ami, you've given a riddle to the people of my nation. Delivo he got done. You didn't tell me the answer. Vayomer la, and he said to her, Hinei la avi ule imi lo he got thee. He said, I haven't told my father and my mother, and I'm going to tell you. Interesting relationship there, but they didn't even tell them, so why would I tell you? Matevka loved Shiva Sayam, and she cried over him for seven days. After Hayalam Amisha. So we'll come back to the day calculation in a moment. After Hayalam Amisha, she cried for the 7 days for which the feast was taking place. Vayhi Vayom HaShavi, and it was on the seventh day. Vayagedla, and he told her, he had Tikasu. And he told her because she forced him. Vatagid Afido Livne Ama, and she told the answer to the riddle to the people of her nation, to the Pushti men. Okay, yeah, so let's try to get the date straight here, because it's not so clear. So, so at first it said in Pasuk Yud-Beis, Shimshon says you have 7 days. You have to tell me this within the 7 days of Mishnah. You have the 7 days of Sheva Brachos to tell me. It seems like he was giving them until the end of Sheva Brachos. Now, when was he telling them the riddle? Not so clear. According to the Malbim understood that there was a 7 days of lead-up. So the Malbim is going to learn through these Sukkim, assuming that there's 7 days celebration before, and then there's 7 days of Sheva Brachos after, and that they had until the end of the Sheva Brachos to tell him the end. And so he reads the Pesukim as follows. In Pasuk Tesvav, it says, and it was on the seventh day. So, and they said to the wife of Shimshon, you know, figure it out. Try to do something, he'll tell us. So, what was the seventh day? So the Malbim understood that yeah, I think the Malbim understands that it was the 7 days before in which they were supposed to figure out the riddle, and then they had sort of 7 days in which to actually tell them the answer. Yeah, so actually, I missed one pasuk. Let's go back, even in pasuk Yadalid. So first it says that they were not able to tell the answer for 3 days. So when was that? So the Malbim says that was the first 3 days of the before the wedding. They had 7 days before the wedding to try to figure it out. And this was the first 3 days of that. And they couldn't figure it out, and then they basically gave up. And then on the seventh day, they decided, you know, this is the end of the party. It's the beginning of, he's going to get married tonight. And now we have a chance to send in our spy, Simpson's wife, because the marriage is tonight, and she'll be able to seduce him and figure out the answer. That was their new plan, basically. First 3 days they couldn't figure out, then they had, now it's the seventh day, but it's still before the wedding, so they still have 7 more days to tell the answer, so they sent her in to try again to tell the answer. And then she cried, as is described in Yud Zayin, she cried for 7 days, please tell me the answer, and finally on the seventh day, he tells her the answer, and we'll see they're going to get the answer submitted just in the nick of time. That was the Malbim. Others learn, they don't understand this, you know, that there was a 7 days preceding. They don't see that in the Pesukim. Shimshon, right, according to the Malbim, they really had 14 days to solve the riddle. According to most other Mefarshim, Rashi, Radak, they only had 7 days. That from the day of the wedding, there will be 7 days of celebration, and they had 7 days in which to answer the riddle. And when it says, then it says, and they couldn't figure it out for 3 days. And then it says, and it was on the seventh day. So what it was the seventh day? So they say, Rashi says, others say, that it means the Sabbath. It doesn't mean the seventh day since the riddle was told. It's only the fourth day. They couldn't figure it out for 3 days. The next day was the seventh day of the week. It was Sabbath. And that's when they approached Simpson's wife. The Alshif points out, says that, you know, it was Sabbath, and Simpson didn't want to spend Sabbath among these people, among the Pushtim, and that's why he wasn't around, and that's why they had the opportunity to approach his wife. So, or he was hanging out by himself somewhere else. He wasn't around. And then, in Pasuk Yodayin, It says she cried for 7 days. So what are these 7 days? So, right, according to the Malbim, it's very good, because this was the beginning of the new 7 days. But according to Rashi and the others, you just have to say that it means the whole 7 days she was crying, you know, if you wanted him to tell him the answer. Nothing to necessarily to do with her Christian friends, but from the very beginning, you know, she felt, you know, why don't you tell me the answer? I'm your wife. And finally, he gives in on the seventh day and indeed tells her the answer. So, Pasuk Yitzes, so she's just told them the answer. So Pasuk Yitzes says, Vayom Rulo Antri Yair Bayom Ashivi, and the men of her city told him on the seventh day, the Terim Yavo Hacharsa, just before Kia, just before sunset, they came with the answer to Shimshon, and the answer that they give was Mamosok Midvash. What is sweeter than honey? Ume Oz Me'ari. And what is stronger than a lion? That's the answer to the riddle. And it seems that they didn't answer the first half of the riddle. The first half was Meha Ochel Yatra Maho. From food, from the eater came food. Ume Az Yatra Masuk. And from something strong came something sweet. And they said, so some say they wanted to say in a way that implied that he hadn't told them. They said, oh, it's, well, guess, you know. What's sweeter than honey? It must be honey. And what's stronger than a lion? It must be a lion. That's how some interpret it. Others say that no, the first half they were answering the first part of the riddle. The first part of the riddle was, Neha Ocho Yatamacho, from the eater came food. Meaning that they were able to, that could be figured out on its own. That a bee eats the pollen and then releases it, and it creates honey. And so from the eater comes food. That's a bee. And that they could deduce on their own. And that way they would show, like, oh, we could figure this out on our own, you know? And then, but the second half, they would have had to have been told that me'az me'ari, that what is stronger than a lion, that there was honey in the lion. Vayomer lahem, and Shimshon said to them, Lule charashtem be'glossi, had you not plowed with my wagon, lo mitzasem tidasi, you wouldn't have found the answer to my riddle. Meaning, if you had not used my wife, then you would not have found the answer. And he got very upset with them. What? Right, that's true. Batitzlach olav ruach Hashem, and a spirit of Hashem passed over him. He was strengthened by Yered Askelon, and he went down to Askelon. By Yachmehem Shloshim Ish, and he struck 30 men there, Vayikas as Chalitosam, and he took their clothing. Vayitin Achalifos Lamadide Achida, and he gave the shirt to those who had told the answer to the riddle. Vayichar Aplon, he was very angry. Vayal Beis Avio, and he went back to his father's house. He was done with this woman. She had betrayed him, and he returned to his house without his wife. And again, you see Chalifos here is with the Vav, because there were 30 different Chalifos. And the parak concludes, Vatihi Esha Shimshon Lemere Yehu, and the wife of Shimshon went to one of his friends, one of these other guys, Asher Reolo, that had wronged him, and she married one of those other guys. And some learned that actually she had been involved with him before, and that's why she wanted to help him and tell him the answer, and that she was really she cheated on Shimshon, and it was, you know, she was big, really not the greatest wife as he had thought. In fact, back in Pasuk, yeah, I don't know. In Pasuk Tezayin and Yudzayin both, she refers to the people as B'nai Ami, B'nai Amma, the people of her nation, that she connected with these people more than she did with Shimshon, even though, according to Daniel Farshim, she had converted, but seems that she wasn't really so committed and still considered the Plishtim to be her nation. Just one interesting point, just to conclude, that it seems that they had until sunset to get their answer to the riddle, which implies that the Yimei HaMishteh would end, the Sheva Brachos would end at sunset. It's actually a Shaila in the Poskim, how we count Sheva Brachos. Do we count Me'eis Le'eis, 7 24-hour periods, or do we say, you know, Mikdas Yom Kippur, part of the day is like the whole thing, and it doesn't actually have to be 7 days. So for example, if a person gets married on a Sunday at noon, so when does Sheva Brachos end? So does it end at Shkia on Shabbos, seventh day? No, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Or does it end the next Sunday at noon? You know, exactly 7 24-hour periods later. So it seems that many, you know, definitely the majority of the poskim rule that it's not Me'eis Le'eis, it's not 24-hour period, it's 7 days. It will end Shabbos after Shabbos at Shkia, and that's how we paskin. And that would be, this would be a riot, this would be a proof to that, because they only had until sunset, you know, unless you happen to get married right at that time. But the implication is that the Yimei HaMishteh would come to an end at that time, at sunset. This would be a proof to those, you know, to the dominant opinion that Sheva Brachos end at the sunset of the seventh day, and we don't count exactly 7 24-hour periods.